Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Coming at you live from the heart of Lincoln, America. This is Old School, sponsored by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese, Nebraska Football Hall of Famer Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Yes, it is. Welcome in. It's hour two of Old School, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. I'm Austin, he's Jay, and you're along for the ride. As always, 402-464-5685 if there's anything on your mind. Jay, we're talking some more of the college football coaching carousel and how it relates to the NFL as we shift gears a little bit here. Marcus Freeman, not really free. He's locked up by Notre Dame, gets a new contract of some sort. Being a private school, we don't have the details. Rumor has it that Marcus Freeman turned down multiple NFL teams, most notably the New York Giants, to stay put in South Bend. Let's stick on that point for now. He returns to Notre Dame, said unfinished business. He's back with the Irish. What does that mean, first of all, for Notre Dame and then for the Giants, that Marcus Freeman is staying in South Bend?
Man, I don't know what the... Listen, that dude ain't no NFL coach, man. He's not. He's not. He's not. First of all, that it's not. It won't work. He get clowned out the league. You come in there with tight pants, no, that's not working. With the shoe shine and your dog,
he's a player's coach, Jeff.
No, you a college player's coach. You stay right where you're at. It's great. It's great for Notre Dame because they had a really good. They like Michigan and Penn State. You fell into a really good college coach, he's a really good coach. Mm-hmm. After Brian Kelly left you, like, kind of on a recruiting trip.
Yeah.
And you got a guy that's actually taking you to a whole another level. He's galvanized the alumni, which is I never thought would happen at Notre Dame. And he's got a great gig going, and he goes out and he's pushing the envelope. They supporting him financially. As far as remember, there was a couple years ago where he was losing really good coaches. I think in particular wide receiver coaches, like year after year, is because he didn't have enough money in coaches' pool. It's almost like they were setting him up to fail. Well, then they're like, oh, we actually have a decent coach, and he made a magical run. Okay, now we'll start giving you some money. And so, sure, it was great that, the New York Giants were, testing the waters. Bro, listen, man. I mean, I don't understand. I'm just telling you, you're dealing with grown men, okay? Grown men. The NFL, if you are not a savage, okay, if it's not in you, you will die. You don't have a chance.
Probably find out pretty quick.
And there's no doubt that he probably could adjust. But I would think about this. Okay, you're going to be with the Giants. Okay, listen, you think that you at Notre Dame, you're secluded, and you kind of decide what is being out there because you're at Notre Dame. Mm-hmm. Heck, you decide you ain't want to go to a bowl game. Listen, you're with the Giants. I played there. All right. I seen firsthand the pressure. I saw when Michael Strahan was going off when he was eating his lunch and the food was just flying out through his gap into somebody's face. I've seen it where there was fights in the locker room between players and media members. I've seen it where Eli was just getting obliterated.
Eli or Elijah?
He was Elijah then.
Okay.
I saw where Tiki Barber, after we lost in the playoff game, right, threw Tom Coughlin underneath the bus, right? In that type of heat, you don't want that. Marcus Freeman, you got good hair, okay? You're older. You don't have a gray hair. It reminds me of my dad. My dad still don't have any gray hair. And it's great for Marcus Freeman because he got re-up, and maybe he should have. I mean, if I'm Marcus Freeman, listen, these dudes getting paid. I need to get paid because just like there will be major universities open next year. He can leave next year if they didn't reopen. It just so happens the Giants helped you get there.
Right.
But there was not a chance. I wouldn't say there's not a chance. There's no way. No way he's ready for that. Not in New York. No. I would advise, brother, do not do it. Do not go to New York City because you'll get swallowed up. Look at Aaron Glenn.
And that's a grown man.
Yeah.
That's a savage. You know that firsthand.
And he started out at the bottom. Worked his way up. Scouting, mm-hmm. office dude, mm-hmm. assistant coach, back to scouting, DB coach, D coordinator. But you know what? It's good for Notre Dame because as they're trying to dictate when they get in the playoffs or not, and they just ended the thing with USC, it's good they got their head coach, you know, locked. And they needed to, too. After that, Brian Kelly. Mm-hmm. And you needed a guy to transition. I think they finally believe in, you know, everybody's supporting Marcus Freeman and his journey as their head coach. Finally, I think they do. And you have to now. Mm-hmm. He's done too much.
Yeah.
So if Notre Dame doesn't believe in Marcus Freeman right now, then you never will.
Seriously.
Right. So they, you know, they probably back pay. Let me get that. Because let's be honest, whatever his contract was when he first got there, to go where he went last year and even this year, after being 0-2 and if battling adversity, the embarrassment of not even embarrassment this year because you lost two games by 3 points, I think, right?
Yeah, your first two games of the year rattled off 10 straight.
Right. Well, then let's think. You after the Northern Illinois debacle and the tough sledding, and then to get it going there, go to the magical run through the playoffs within a couple plays of beating Ohio State. Then you lose two games by 3 points, rattle off 10, dominating last 10 games. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you should have paid him before that. And that's probably why he's like, we ain't playing in the bowl game. I need to get paid. I ain't mad at him. I'd be laughing at him, though, if he tried to go to New York, though.
Bach and I kind of danced around this earlier today, but I want to ask you, with the NFL experience that you have, you've been in those conversations. We know college football is becoming more and more professionalized. We've heard that, right? Professional versus entertainment. So, Jay, do you think that the way college football is moving, does that give more college coaches a look from NFL teams? Or is there still this mindset in the NFL that you got to be like super duper special and top three coach in the sport to even get a look? Or do you think that maybe this cracks the door for more college coaches to get interviews in the NFL with the way college football is moving?
I think it's both. You're going to see NFL guys come down to college. You look at Matt Patricia and multiple guys able. Now, look, granted, he's just D coordinator, but now he's got to recruit. Now, coordinators don't necessarily go out and recruit, but the way he's galvanized that defense, he's obviously has a connection with his players. Yeah. So he's doing some recruiting.
Well, and Ohio State's like NFL light in some ways. Right. So you get guys.
So it's even harder.
Yeah.
Because you're coming from the NFL. And it wasn't a good last go around with the Patriots. Nope. Now you're coming down here, right? Mm-hmm. And now you got to really recruit these 18 to 22 year old kids that already been treated like NFL players, and you got to get them to play for you.
Yeah.
You're recruiting, but you're not out there going school to school. But you're going on some trips. Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to open up both ways, and because I think you're going to get some guys that maybe aren't GMs in the NFL, it's assistant GMs or whatever, that can come down and do it here. And then you have some guys that maybe do a really good job at college that might get, you know, a look at some sort going to the league, going up to the NFL coaching as well, because the NFL started coming down to college and getting some RPO knowledge that you implement at the professional level. So they'll let you know that the lines are a little bit more clear how to do it. Now you got coaching is where a lot of the kids that you'll be coaching at the NFL are the same kids that you've probably coached at this point now 5 or 6 years in college. Who has better knowledge of the incoming talent than guys that have recruited them probably since they've been in 9th, 10th grade?
Right.
These college coaches, these college programs. So I think right now the biggest thing that both college and pros have to do, and maybe a little bit more in college, but I think also in pros, you gotta get dudes in there that love football, that are good dudes. Everybody's able to have a bad day, bad weeks, and all, but just good dudes, right? That are about that life, about that business, and then everything kind of runs smoothly from there. Now, you can't do that if you don't have the same thing, ownership, GM, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You got to have it all in line. If you don't, then you're in trouble.
Do you think it's easier or harder for a coach, right? Let's take a coach like Marcus Freeman, who's weighing staying in college or going to the pros. Do you think it's easier or harder than the NFL to do that in college? to have that alignment that you're looking for, like you just said?
Oh,
and Notre Dame might be different.
That's a great question. That's tough, man, because you know, like, you could have, okay, here's an example. Look at Jacksonville. Mm-hmm. They have a great owner. Lack of experience, great owner. They've had crappy GMs. Now they got a good GM. They had to get pushed by one of their coaching candidates in order to fire Trent Baalke.
Yep.
Right? So it's hard at mm-hmm. the pro level. Reason why Pittsburgh's always been a winning organization. Reason why Philly's always winning. Kansas City, for the most part.
Baltimore.
Ownership. Ozzie Newsome. We're talking about Baltimore. Harbaugh. Mm-hmm. All in line.
Yeah.
And then they embody the city. Reason why Detroit's resurgence. Right now, I know they missed the playoffs this year. Why? Ownership. They got GMs, right? Then they went and got their quarterback. And then believed in the coach.
Yeah.
And then what do the players do? Embody the city. Just talk about it. You could just look at Cleveland. Now, I will tell you what. You give Barry a lot of credit. He had a really good draft. Now, when you look at college, it's a little bit harder because I don't know who would be the owner of the football team. The donors. So there's 15.
Right.
Of them, or who knows how many, right? Because you don't really know them.
Because it's not the AD.
Yeah, because the AD is the GM, kind of, right? Or like
the middleman, at the very least. The
assistant owner.
Yeah.
I don't know what the... So the
AD... Assistant vice president for...
The AD the AD in college is equivalent of like the CFO in the pros. So you have an owner, then mm-hmm. you have a CFO, then you got the GM, okay.
Yeah.
Right?
So
that's... Mm-hmm. So you don't know who the owners are, but I think if you have your CFO, your AD... or your GM and head coach in line, then you got it.
The way I would break it down is that it's probably easier just from the coach's perspective, excuse me, to force that alignment or your specific vision in college.
Yes.
You think about some of those big force of personality guys. Think about what Dabo's done at Clemson. Think about Saban at Alabama and the changes that he made. I know those are the best of the best, but most coaches can come in and they're given free reign, carte blanche. Hey, what do you need? We will get it for you, right? Sure, you can look for, you know, one of us, a guy that's been here before. He knows us. He knows what we're about, knows the culture. He's a fit. You can look for all that. But I feel like it's easier for coaches in college, Jay, to kind of have the whole organization wrapped around their finger to a degree. Yeah. Oh, yeah, well, we'll give you whatever you need. We really like you. We want you to be successful.
For sure.
And so I think that's a benefit of being a college coach is that if you can play the game well enough, play the politics, glad hand enough, you know, kiss enough babies, shake enough hands, you can maybe buy yourself more time as long as the results are good enough. You can't really do that in the NFL. There are so few examples of that because there are 32 owners who ultimately have the final say. And then the GM is legitimately the coach's boss, but the GM's order under the orders of the owner in some cases. And sure, you can go back and forth and you can have those conversations. And I'm sure, Jay, for some coaches, it's nice to be able to have all that institutional control in college. They will give me what I want as long as I'm good enough. I'm essentially the head man here. On the flip side, I'm sure there are plenty of coaches who like it in the NFL where give me the talent to work with. Let me do my thing. I'll have conversations with you, but I don't need to be in charge of X, Y, and Z. No. Just let me coach football, cut out some of the nonsense. It's coaching, but it seems like they're two completely different realms of coaching.
Oh, it's definitely, I mean, first of all, in the pros, you got grown ass men. And in college, you know, they're 18, 19, 20, 21, 22 years old. It's totally
thinking different. They're grown men.
But you can dictate their future a lot more. Now, you can't much now because of the portal, but you dictate a lot of that stuff.
Yeah.
So you dictate, you know, okay, say like I was at a head coach at like Miami of Ohio, and I was the next Kirk Cignetti. And it doesn't matter what school I'm coming in. I can come in and wipe the whole place clean.
Yeah.
That's from the mailman to the whatever. Mm-hmm. I can bring my whole deal to there. Mm-hmm. So just on that alone, on top of my paycheck, because I'll probably be the highest state employee, paid employee, I have ultimate control.
Yeah.
Over everything. Versus you come to the pros, well, you're dealing with grown-ass men. You got dudes on there making more than you. You can't tell them nothing. Because what will happen in the pros, and only times it gets a little hairy, and this is what happened in New England, is when you're the head coach and the GM. You have to separate your personal feelings. And sometimes you can be too business oriented, like, and you need more feelings. That's where Bill Walsh struggled with some of his star players. Now, he was able to remedy that late, you know, before he passed away. But those are things, those are mistakes he said, it factual. Mm-hmm. He made the wrong decisions, running off Joe Montana and all them, right? And treating them just as assets.
Right.
Right? You can do that in the pro, and it worked for a little while. But you saw what the situation with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick a little bit, where Tom Brady went up to the owner.
Right.
Here's a funny story. And I'll tell it just because he was one of my favorite teammates. He was one of the best teammates I ever had in the pros. His name was Reuben Brown. Should be eventually getting the Hall of Fame. He was from Virginia Tech, just perennial Pro Bowler at guard. And he used to sit, he used to love driving Harleys. He'd drive his Harley to practice if he could. But he'd always be up there, man, like with these dark sunglasses on. You know what I'm saying? And I remember we had an offensive coordinator. I think his name was Mike Shepard. Came in. And our offense was struggling. And it was my fourth year, and it was bad. And I forget, we were leaving the special teams meeting. I was talking to Danny Smith, who's a special teams coach at Pittsburgh now. And so I was kind of there when the offense was coming, because the offense was in the big meeting room. Mm-hmm. Mike Shepard, when we were kind of outside, because I had a couple minutes, I had longer to get to the defensive meeting. And he was like, all right, we're putting in 16 new plays. And Reuben was just started yelling. He's like, M&F, we can't 16 new plays. We can't even run the ones that we got. And he's walking down towards, and Reuben's a big dude, like 6'4", 310, you know what I mean? And Mike Shepard is a little dude. He's like, I told you during the game to stop putting in all these plays, that, you know, and Reuben had been, he knows his stuff. They're going nose to nose, and he just got frustrated. He's like, and just threw Mike Shepard up into like the projector and went right up to Mr. Wilson. They went right back to bases next week. Just like that.
Just that quick.
No fine, no
just
nothing.
Just that quick.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Bruce Smith and Thurman, they weren't talking to like the GMs. They were going to talk to Mr. Wilson. That's why when he came in the locker room, he would talk to them or talk to Bruce. Skip me, Thurman. Hey, Andre, you coming over for dinner? I'm thinking like, where's my invite? I'm going to Boston Market. But that's the difference in the pros. Now, I'm sure like Underwood at Michigan, he could probably, I don't know who he would talk to. He could probably call it a donor, but it's totally different.
But not with Whittingham. Like, even though Whittingham's the new guy, but.
Yeah. No, that wouldn't work out well.
Even Shrone Moore, I don't know. Maybe.
I'd say this. You know, players like that go right to the head coach. A player, say, like myself, I'm talking to my linebacker coach.
Yeah.
So that's the difference. Mm-hmm. But you got guys in the pros, they're going to see the big man. When they don't need it, they don't need a
no-knock policy. Come on in.
Yeah, roll up. Yeah, you don't need a meeting time. You just show up when you want to. Yeah.
I think from the coach's perspective, too, in the NFL, I feel like if you're the GM and the owner, as long as you're on the same page, you can kind of pick that person. Not that, you know, coaches are just placeholders in the NFL, right? You got to have a selling point to it. You got to be good at something. But in college, I feel like it's a little harder to just be that kind of puppet, right, for the administration, right? Because I think college coaches are expected to come in and make those changes. Hey, what's your vision? Yeah. Hey, turn us around. Hey, what are you going to do? We expect you to make changes. Maybe that's the case in some NFL organizations, Dave, but I feel like from conversations we've had, so many of these organizations are just kind of set in their ways. You know how they're going to operate their business. And sure, guys can come in, and we've seen some real turnarounds that we'll talk about coming up in our next segment a little bit. But the Bengals are never going to spend money, right? No matter how good a coach Zach Taylor is, he's not going to come in and say, hey, you got to spend all this money to upgrade your facilities, right? Yeah. That can happen in college.
Yeah.
It can't happen in the NFL, but why'd they hire Zach Taylor? Not to get them to spend more money and upgrade facilities, to scheme up a good offense around those good players like Joe Burrow.
Yeah, that's a great, you know, answer, or a great point there, just because that is the big difference. And but then when you have that alignment from top to bottom, you get San Francisco 49ers that have plethora of injuries, and they're potentially going to be the number one seed.
Yeah.
You got Philly able to withstand locker room turmoil, coaching potential turmoil, and win a Super Bowl last year and be right in the thick of it this year. You have the Kansas City to where the fact that they haven't made the playoffs this year, it's like the world is ending, but they're still probably going to be one of the odds on favorite next year with or without Kelsey and with Mahomes coming back. That's how you're able to do it. Denver, right? They got the ownership right, which Abel allowed them to essentially get the head coach and the GM right. Now look at them. And it's not probably the best roster, but they're able to get a coach that embodies everything and they got it. And so when the college coaches come in, they're the big man because you're making the most.
Yeah.
The pros, you're never making more than the owner.
Right.
So you can't, you're not going to run things. And they'll let you run things until you don't run them the way that they want it, or some of the star players that have made them a lot of money or won a lot of Super Bowls, kind of like Robert Kraft and he has affinity for Tom Brady, and where they spend a lot of time together outside of football, and he earns that respect from him because Tom Brady took a haircut a lot of times. He did right by the organization probably 3 or 4 times when he was up for it. So then that connects you business-wise with the owner. The owner helps you probably with some stuff that made you an icon off of it. And then that's how, some ways, you know, Bill Belichick got leapfrogged a little bit.
Cubsgrown, our starter, Heyman Jewelers text line. We know you're a constant listener, Cubsgrown. A little surprised you didn't know that, yes, Jay was with Danny Smith in the NFL. Jay, Cubsgrown wants your best Danny Smith story.
Man, Danny Smith, hey, man, that dude, he came in and he coached at Georgia Tech. And I think he was a coach there when they won national championship. And he comes in.
Is that 90, 91?
I think, or something like that. I think he was on the coaching staff. But I know he coached at Georgia Tech because I think they might have beat Nebraska, or they beat Nebraska in a bowl game. So he must have done some research on me or whatever. And I remember I was like, this dude, I don't know, like he had so much gum in his mouth.
Danny Smith, running backs coach for Georgia Tech in 1990.
So we're talking and we were talking, and I was talking to him about, you know, going to the Super Bowl or whatever. He's like, yeah, man. He's like, yeah, you been to Club Cheetah? He's like, yeah. He's like, you lucky we didn't get you down a recruit trip. That's exactly where I was taking. You funny as heck, man. Here's a funny story about Danny, man. Here's the best story about Danny Smith. He was in my wedding. He has us all over at his house, right? His wife, he got a daughter, and, you know, she must have been going out to some dance or something, right? So we're all over there, and, you know, he got some food. We're over this fellowship, right? You know, we're just all kicking it and with Danny or whatever. And so, you know, daughter, I guess boyfriend, whatever he was, date comes over. Comes over, this dude, man. He comes in there, he introduces it, you know, Danny's like, hey, you know, this is so-and-so, and then he gives us a wink, right? So we're like, oh man, what's he gonna do? So, you know, his wife is around and they're kind of, you know, just playing around, and, you know, he's like, he kept talking, Mr. Smith, this is this, but, you know, thank you, Mr. Foreman, all this. So his wife must have went up to get his daughter, you know, help her get ready or whatever. So Danny had this like little den, you know, kind of like where he would meet with us as players or whatever. So we were in there. I was like looking through all the stuff, you know, just because like you have football stuff everywhere. And it was me. I never forget. It was me, my man. I used to call him Fab Five Freddie Jones, and Kenyatta Wright. We were all kind of just looking. And Danny shut the door. I thought he was leaving, but he shut the door, and the dude was in there. He sat him down and said, look, man. He talks to the dude. He said, look, he's like, I heard enough of this, Mr. Smith, and all this stuff, man. He's like, listen, that's my daughter. And every time you think about doing something, think about us in here. We looked around. We were like, who? And then, hey, look. His wife came down, and the kid got like, he was a white kid. He got pale. And so then comes out, and she was like, is everything all right? You know, because looked like he was shook. He's like, oh, we're good, man. They're going to have a good time tonight. I said, this dude crazy, man. Yeah, I like Danny, man. You know, the one thing about Danny Smith is that, so when I was in my fourth year in Buffalo, I was up for a contract, and then this is when you didn't have the internet. The only thing was KFFL.com. That was where you kind of got all the, you know, it was always like a day or two late. And so I was like, hey, look, man, if you guys are going to, you know, I'm going to know I was going to get contract from somebody. If you're not going to bring me back, you know what I'm saying? I'm not, I don't really want to play for the, you know, this, you know, the, not the league minimum for where I was vested at. I was trying to get paid. Mm-hmm. That's fine. I know my agent was like, we good. So they're like, I'll come back. And, you know, I got an apartment, got my cable, and I did it reluctantly because my agent told me to do so. I should just stay in the hotel, but I saw on KFFL before, like right when I kind of got my internet, you know, I dial up. This is how bad it was. It was like, oh, you know, Greg Williams and Eddie Robinson Jr.'s agent met at the combine. And by this time, the combine's over. He might be going to Buffalo. Well, then I started kind of like, all right, well, there's three linebacker spots. Okay. I know the middle spot's taken. I know my man Killer Keith is coming back because he already did his thing. Hey.
Hey, that's my spot.
Yeah. Brother, hey, you know what I'm saying? I just had a good year. And so then that's when we got out there. And Danny talked me off the ledge. And I was like, bump this place. I'm out of here. He was like, look, man. And he's like, listen, he's like, I told him they just let you two compete. He's like, because you're good enough to beat them out. You know what I mean? So now I see I got traded probably like 2 hours later. Danny didn't know. Mm-hmm. And I met with him. He came over to my house before I left. But he's one of the dudes. He's like, look, I've been in the league a long time. He's like, you're going to have a long career. And, you know, he's always been, it always was really, really like as honest as he could be at that point. Mm-hmm. So I got a ton of respect for him. But he's funny though.
Yeah. We're good.
Yeah.
We have a good night.
Oh, he's like, oh yeah, have a good time. He's like, don't be late.
Go get him.
I bet you.
Curfew's 9:30.
Hey, I bet you that girl came home an hour early. Right, mad. You know what I mean? Yeah, Danny tightened him up real good.
Shout out Danny Smith.
Yeah. Right.
Got a little bit more on the coaching carousel, including the NFL's Coach of the Year race. That's all ahead. He's Jay Foreman. I'm Austin Norman. This is Old School on the Ticket.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Norman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Rolling right along here on Old School, Austin Norman, Jay Foreman with you, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. This segment sponsored by Heartland of Nebraska Windows. They're based out of Hallam, Nebraska. They offer a free estimate, full window replacements, all vinyl triple pane windows, and a lifetime warranty on everything while keeping their prices affordable. Heartland of Nebraska Windows is locally and family owned with their own team of installers. You can learn more by calling them at 402-430-3852 or by visiting them online at heartlandofnebraskawindows.com. Jay, as we talk Marcus Freeman to the turning down the NFL interest, I should say, let's say you're at a top five or top 10 job in college football, whoever you define it. Really good college football job. You're comfortable. You're winning. What's the worst NFL job you would take if it came calling? Like going from Notre Dame, a top five job, to the mess the Giants are in right now. Mm-hmm. I get why Marcus Freeman wouldn't do that.
I would take the Giants job.
You would?
Yeah. I mean, it's a, I guess a blue blood NFL franchise. Got great ownership. Mm-hmm. GM. I don't know, but I think you can work around that because you have probably more security than he does. He's got to hire you out of desperation.
Yeah.
I'm going to be there. And especially if you start winning, you can dictate who the next guy is. So the worst job that I would take.
Because like if you're a college coach, you're not taking
probably,
the Titans job.
I would say probably if I'm a college coach, the worst, I would probably take like Arizona.
Ooh, interesting. Yeah, I see it.
I mean, everything else, the knowns you would take.
But the knowns wouldn't offer you.
Right.
That's just the thing.
Right, because they would probably get another NFL coach or they're going to keep their coach.
Yeah.
Let me see what the other ones.
Arizona came to mind for me. Carolina, they've done that before. Yeah. So
Carolina would be tricky because the fan base is definitely wine and cheese and is a NASCAR town, which I think if you bring a product, you know, they'll be good. I think I would have a hard time meshing with the ownership. That they actually have a good GM in Dan Morgan.
Yeah.
So that actually maybe can eliminate that angst with the owner because you have a football guy as a GM.
Sure.
But I would probably, you know, that would be I don't know if I would ever take it. I mean, unless Cleveland was like, yo, I'm going to pay you three times what you deserve.
What's up, baby? It's Brian.
If they so
Cleveland would do it. If you're Marcus Freeman and let's say next year the Colts come calling, is that a good enough job for you to leave Notre Dame?
If the roster is like 70% of what they have now, yes.
Would you make that move in state?
Oh, yeah.
You think that's easier or harder for him to leave Notre Dame for an in-state job in the Colts? How would that be received by that state?
I think it'd be all right. I think Notre Dame and South Bend is their own little state.
Okay.
I think it'd be all right. I mean, I think they would have to understand it.
But if you're Ryan Day, would you take that Colts job? Is that a good enough job for you to leave Ohio State?
They don't have a quarterback.
But you're Ryan Day. You're the quarterback guy. They bring you in to get one.
In the league, you better have a quarterback. A real quarterback. Or be able to have an eye for him. If I'm Ryan Day, I would take it. It's all about ownership.
It is.
Mm-hmm. And the only problem with that, with Indy, is how long will that GM be there? Because he's going to be a guy that's going to hire you. Now, the owner is
Let's say he's gone and the head coach is gone and they start fresh. Would you want to be a GM's first hire?
Oh, yeah. Because we're in this together. We need this to work. Mm. And if I do well, then we do well.
If you're Dan Lanning, are you leaving Oregon for like Tampa in 5 years?
I don't know if Dan Lanning's a pro coach.
Just throw names at the wall. You know, some of these big jobs, big names.
I can see him. He'd be great in Tampa. Actually, I think
that's just a thought.
I think he would do well in Tampa. I got to take that back. Because I think that Tampa has identified what a Buccaneer is, what they want in a player, so they have a better eye on what they want in a coach. And if they pick Dan Lanning, you have to think that they would be successful with him. I don't know what the heck is going on right now. But Dan Lanning would do well there.
And it's different, too, when we talk about, you know, your Days, your Lannings, your Freemans, who are college guys. Different when you think about Jim Harbaugh, you know, talking with the Bears and talking with the Vikings, where you could kind of pick it. Or, you know, Pete Carroll kind of going back and forth here or there. Even, you know, Nick Saban coming back to college to some degree. With where he was and when the Dolphins got him, that's a completely different situation. How many NFL ties do you think you would have to have as a college coach to get an NFL look? Does it matter how many guys you're putting in the league? Obviously, the better you are, the more
I think
we'll
if
go.
You develop talent is one thing. Number one, I think college coaches can actually coach in the pros, but they have to understand you cannot coach professionals like in college. Mm-hmm. If you can kind of morph yourself into a pro coach and still have your foundation of what you want to do, it doesn't matter. A good coach is a good coach.
Yeah.
Sometimes when you get to the pros, you're trying to do it that like you did in college, it's not going to work. So, but then the biggest thing is like, do you have the connections with the staff at the pro level? Because the most important coach for a pro coach is your coordinator / associate head coach or assistant head coach, because that's going to be the guy that you bounce stuff off. And then your weight coach and your special teams coordinator. Now, obviously, you need line and all that, but those are the ones that you build your team around. The coaches are going to be around the players the most. That's where you got to get the most of your information, and that's going to give you a kind of good look-see into, you know, what you have.
How often are the strength guys hired by each coach versus the organization, right? You think about some of the
they
the
bring
names.
In them, most they now, do bring their there's own? Some guys like Cedric Smith and you know, that kind of has been a holdover, and there's some guys that kind of, you know, been able, so good that they're able to stay. I always talk about Rusty Jones,
right?
We had one really good one in in Houston. I forget. It was called Dr. Dan. He had, he was the strength coach for the Washington Redskins at the time when they had the Hogs and all that. So he was really good. Dan Riley. That was it. Dan Riley. And he was great. But a lot of times the coaches are going to bring in their own, just like Harbaugh brought in his own. Raheem Morris brought in his own. Everybody usually brings their own strength guy, or their agent has one, which is probably a little bit more dangerous because the agent wants him to get paid. But generally a coach, you know, that's, if I was a GM, I want to know who you're bringing in with your strength and conditioning. I want to know who you're bringing in on your coaching staff, especially at coordinators. That will tell me as much or more about you than what you're going to tell me. Because you get in front of a GM and an owner, you generally have to talk yourself out of it if they really are trying to hire you.
Do you think that gets asked in many of those meetings? Who's your strength guy? Who are your associate coaches? Oh, sure.
I'm assuming when you do these interviews, they're long all day and they're long, and you go through your program, coaching staff, offensive philosophy, defensive staff, special teams, weight coach. How does it all go together? Organization, you know, all that stuff. I mean, you go through everything because the owners are not only investing in you, you're investing in you to run their franchise.
Yeah.
From a football standpoint.
Sure.
And they want to make sure that you know what you're doing, you get your money's worth. And also they want you to embody or be the face of the franchise as well. So you gotta fit that script as well. Mm. You know, you gotta be, you know, obviously tightened up, you know, off the field. You probably gotta, you know, somewhat be appealing personality wise, because I'm assuming, you know, you got some minority owners and you're gonna have to do the shake hands and kiss babies. So you wanna make sure that you have a personality that's sellable to keep you know, ownership at the level that they have it.
Between college and pros, what's the biggest jump in the strength and conditioning realm? Like, what's the difference between like a college regimen and a pro regimen?
Oh, hey man, I remember I came in there thought I was doing a Nebraska workout, working hard, and then Rusty Jones was like, hey, we don't do that here.
Now, and you guys were a pioneer here at Nebraska.
Yeah,
in the college.
He's like, we don't do that here. Now, we got after it, and it was, you know, we got after it. We maxed out and stuff when we went to right before training camp, and he had it really detailed. He's like, but we don't lift hard. We lift hard, but we're strategic about it once or twice a week. And I was like, why? I was like, I've been lifting hard 4 days a week.
Yeah.
He's like, listen. He's like, how many guys have you had in your team in Nebraska? He's like, I seen you guys. What do you got, about 200? I was like, oh, at least 150. Mm-hmm. He's like, how many guys you think in that locker room? He's like, not counting the special team. He's like, 50. He's like, I get fired if you're not playing on Sunday. You're professional. It's your job to be in good shape. It's my job to keep you in good shape. It's not my job for you to come in here and try to hit your max on squat during the season, throw your back out, now you can't play. There is another replacement. We can't go find guys. That's the difference. Now, you get after it when you can in the off season. But a lot of times, that's why you got to put in the extra work. You got to get to Sunday. That's how you get paid. You don't play, you ain't getting paid. Your best ability is your availability. You got to be tough, man. I mean, that's why you see these guys. I just laugh at them. They talk about they going to pro. I say, you ain't got a chance. I'm not trying to be the bearer of bad news. I'm not trying to be like a hater, quote unquote hater. Listen. You get in that locker room, man, it is survival. If somebody knows your weakness, it comes down to whether they get the paycheck or you get the paycheck. They got miles to feed.
You got miles to feed.
Right. I remember I used to ride home with John Hollisek all the time. Mm. But I remember Kirk Schultz gave me a ride home because I was like, I ain't bringing my truck up here till I at least know I'm gonna be on team for a couple weeks. He gave me a ride home for practice to Sheridan 4 points. And I sat next to this man all through mini camp, all through training camp, every day. Even when we were in team defense or defensive team room. Man, I got in this, he had one of them Volvos, it was kind of like a station wagon.
Hatchback sort of thing.
Yeah, hatchback thing. My man had two or three baby seats back there. Stuff all over everywhere. He's like, oh yeah, I got four kids at home. That's the difference. He got four. He got wait. We got four kids at home. We got wife
and him. Yeah.
He got miles to feed. He got six people. I'm trying to just see if I'm gonna get something from Outback or not. You know what I'm saying? chicken on the barbie. Right. So that's the difference. I mean, so that's, and that all goes into it. I mean,
what do you think these last 3 weeks have been like for Phillip Rivers in strength and conditioning?
He just trying to make sure that his body is, I mean, I just imagine his body after that first practice. But quarterbacks don't do much.
He played some defenses that were hitting, though.
Yeah, that's what I'm about to say.
Seattle, San Fran, Jacksonville, and now Houston coming up potentially.
That was a long flight home. Boy, then that next day, I
guarantee. Phil got a whole row to himself to stretch out.
I guarantee he might have been in a hot tub for an hour trying to figure it out. But, you know, that's part of it. You know, getting back in your routine and figuring that out, too. I mean, there's a whole bunch of nuances that go into pro football versus college. And that's why you talk about Marcus Freeman. It's a totally different game. You don't have to recruit. You only get to coach the players that you and the GM hope you get in the draft versus in free agency. Mm-hmm. You also have to understand where you're at, like financially, as far as the salary cap. That kind of dictates your team.
And the salary cap is different in college versus the NFL. Right.
There's more rules, and this is why it's so hard. It's harder, and I think it's easier to coach in the pros. Like, college football is ever changing. You don't have any regulation, right?
Right.
And there's only, you know, 32 teams. Whereas in the pros, there's a lot of regulation, 32 teams. You know the rules, even though you don't agree with them. It's very hard for them to change, like, anything. It's hard for them to even agree to a CBA when they know it's coming in a year. They can't even get together and say, let's not have some sort of month or two lockout, right?
Right.
Versus, like, the pro or, like, college, there is no regulation. There's some, but not really. There's some colleges operating – by the letter of the law. There's some that are kind of teeter-totter in the middle, and there's some that don't even care. They'll deal with it later. So there's no continuity, and there's hard way to really build a team. But here's the one thing that's the exact same. You do have a pool of money in college, a pool of money in pros. You get to spend it every year. The ones that are consistently winning at either level are the ones that do a really good job evaluating players and / developing and spending accordingly. I saw it in Houston where we pick guys up. I never forget this, man. Looking at this, I would never forget this. Looking at these, like, scouting reports, it's like, oh, man, this dude right here, he's too top heavy. He can't move his feet. Expose him. Whoever's going against him should get a sack. It came true. As a matter of fact, he got 3 sacks. And, I mean, everybody took their turn on him. Like, next thing you know, free agency, we signed him. We signed dudes that had no business being there. And we were paying them like they were Orlando Pace or like something like that. Oof, oof. So that's where, because I call it the bad team tax.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's real.
Right. Mm-hmm. But the ones that have the patience from the owner, confidence in the evaluators that don't succumb to the bad team tax, mm-hmm. end up coming out of it. The ones that continue to draft good, right? And we're, you know, that's why you talk about Liam Cohen is probably he'd be my vote for the coach of the year, that he's able to take advantage of even some of the things that Urban Meyer was able to do. Mm-hmm. They're getting good young talent, continue to stack that talent. Now you get a coach and GM. Now these dudes up there winning the AFC South.
Liam Cohen has Jay's vote. Who's your NFL coach of the year? We'll wrap up with a little bit more on that coming up next.
You're listening to Old School with Jay Foreman and Austin Orman. Download the mobile app and listen wherever you are on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Back to Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
We're wrapping up hour two of Old School here on The Ticket. Austin Orman, Jay Foreman with you. Final segment of our 4 o'clock hour, as always, brought to you by Love Volleyball at Nebraska. Just a couple weeks away from the home opener for Love Nebraska at Baxter Arena, January 11th. Get your tickets online, lovneb.com. 3 p.m. match for Love Nebraska against Love Houston at Baxter Arena. Promotional schedule, all that jazz is out as well, lovneb.com. All right, Jay, your pick for NFL Coach of the Year is Liam Cohen.
Yeah.
Brief explainer as to why, please.
Well, I mean, you take over Jacksonville, and they...
Key point being Jacksonville.
Yeah, they won 4 games last year, and he's up to what are they, 12-4 now?
Yeah.
And it's the first time in NFL history. So you got to give him, I mean, that's it. I mean, he's probably, they've clinched or potentially going to clinch the AFC South. I think they're going to win it, right?
Houston's still alive.
Yeah. I just go with him. I mean, the funny thing about this year is there's about six coaches that could win, and you wouldn't even feel, I guess, bad for him winning.
Cohen.
Okay. McVay.
McVay, okay.
Okay. Shanahan.
Shanahan.
Johnson.
Mm-hmm.
McDonald. D'Amico.
Boy, D'Amico.
The six. Mm-hmm. Trying to think who else. I mean, that's, you can even do Sean Payton.
Yeah. Vrabel.
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 Right.
There's so eight. There eight.
There's eight coaches.
The quarter of the league.
Legitimately could be coach of the year, and nobody should bat an eye.
Who do you like to give coach of the year to? Is it the overperforming teams, or the coach that dealt with the most injuries? Is it the surprise team? Where do you like to go with your coach of the year? What do you expect from that award?
I'll probably go to a little bit done with more with less in the surprise team. I think as a coach of the year, you got to think Trevor Lawrence was almost thought of as a bust.
Yeah.
Number one pick bust.
Didn't get anything from Travis Hunter.
Unfortunately. Pivoted from that, and you've rehabbed Etienne as mm-hmm. well. You've coached a plethora of different receivers and been successful, and you've been winning mm-hmm. in Jacksonville, a small market team. I mean, Sean Payton said it best. They're a small market team, but they're actually really good. Yeah, they're really good. I mean, he'd be my pick. I think they will probably go with a Vrabel, probably, especially if they end up being the number one seed.
Yeah.
It's hard to go away from that, but I would just pick him just because what he's done in Jacksonville. I mean, they've won what? Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 in a row. 8 out of the last 9. And that's where, they barely lost to Seattle. They got bludgeoned against the Rams. And then otherwise, they lost to, I don't know how they lost to Cincinnati. And that was, I think, when Joe Burrow was still, healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, they're rolling. They lost a shootout to a desperate Houston team.
Yeah.
And then after that, they've been locked in. I mean, they beat the brakes off of Denver, beat up Indianapolis just last week, who was desperate,
to be done with the season.
Yeah, but they beat the dog tar out of Indianapolis twice in a month.
Yeah.
Went to OT with Arizona and bludgeoning the Chargers.
Mm-hmm.
And, everyone else, they beat Kansas City. Obviously, nobody thought they went to San Francisco and beat them, put the league on notice, beat Houston. And they beat one of the teams that you don't, they also beat Carolina and start the party off, which you don't want to play against Carolina in the fourth quarter anyways.
Right. Kepsker says he would go with Ben Johnson. The Bears have done a complete 180 as opposed to years past. Looked like a threat in the NFC even after their loss last night. I have a little bit harder time believing in the Bears than the NFC as a legit threat this year. Played a fourth place schedule. That's always going to help. Credit them. They've won the games. Caleb Williams looks legit. But
Ben Johnson would be up there too.
He would.
What he's been able to do in Chicago, he deserves a lot of credit.
I would take him over Shanahan. Like, Shanahan's done some really good work, but we know he's a good coach. Because we know you're a good coach shouldn't disqualify you from the award, but you've had a bigger turnaround in Chicago. Yeah. McDonald, I don't really get the candidacy there. Seattle was good last year, but here's the case, Jay, for Mike McDonald. Here are the list of quarterbacks that have posted consecutive 13-win seasons in NFL history. Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, Aaron Rodgers, Brett Favre, and Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold, seeing ghosts, cast off from the Jets, bounces around to Carolina and San Francisco, resurgent in Minnesota, signs a big money deal in Seattle. Dude, yeah. Geno Smith last year, obviously in Seattle, not 13 wins, but Darnold won 13 in Minnesota with O'Connell last year and 13 with McDonald right now. But Seattle was good. I have a hard time giving it to him, even if he's a good coach. Now, I lean Shanahan over McDonald and McVay because it seems like San Francisco has the inside track to that one seed, which I think should carry some weight and with some injuries. But I'm with you. I think it's got to be the surprise or even in-season coaching job. Houston was dead.
Yeah.
Think about how bad D'Amico, Houston looked and for D'Amico to find a way to not just get that team playing better football and squeaking into the wild card, but look like a legitimate playoff threat after the way those first 3 weeks went. He's got to get some real consideration.
Yeah. D'Amico's done I thought they were left for dead. I thought potentially CJ Stroud wasn't going to be the quarterback of the future.
Then Naptown, if you're still questioning.
And then, yeah, I know, right? And then he's turned it around. I think the defense was always good, but I think I keep my connection down to Houston. There's people questioning whether he needed to be fired, D'Amico himself. Mm. And he stayed true to who he is and what they do. And obviously, the next thing you know, he's off and running.
Yeah.
And man, and then now CJ Stroud is fully entrenched in that offense. The offensive line, actually with injuries, actually is still playing good. This is without Joe Mixon. Everybody else has stepped up. So he definitely, you know, those three between D'Amico, Johnson, and Liam Cohen, I think is definitely, you know, worthy picks.
Tight race, yeah. Fun race. We'll talk more coming up here in hour three of the show. This is Old School, brought to you by the Mercado by Certified Piedmontese. Back in a jiff.
Watch Old School live on Facebook, YouTube, or Twitch. Old School with Foreman and Orman on 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.